Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Good afternoon and welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford, and one of my favorite guests, Ray Mondragon, straight from Brazil, back in studio with us with the Creation Science Fellowship. Ray, again, thanks for joining us today. We're continuing our introduction to creation science, making sure that people of faith understand that they haven't lost their brain when they believe in Jesus. And I really appreciate that you give us so many tools and so many talking points that show the support that science has for the Bible and the Bible has for science.
Well, that's the main thing that we want to accomplish today as well, just to continue looking at what we did 3 weeks ago. I thought we had a good time, and
give us an overview of that.
Well, we just scratched the surface basically, and we talked mainly, I thought, about the culture and how believers live in an antagonistic culture that is not receptive to spiritual things, rejected the Bible.
And any former high school student going to college can testify to that, because most universities, secular universities in the country, will literally be antagonistic and sometimes really aggressive towards you if they know you're a person of faith.
Absolutely. So we laid some groundwork along those lines, and purpose of this whole thing is to help believers be able to cope with an unbelieving world that has a different worldview. Our worldview is radically different from any other.
But Ray, I'm gonna add something to that though. I think this is as important for people that are questioning their faith, because they, you know, or even people that have never come to faith. I want people to be able to listen to this information. It's an honest intellectual discussion. It's not a high level discussion like you would be available to or be able to have. I've asked you to kind of bring this down to layman's terms, and you do a great job of summarizing creation science and talking about scientists that you know and science that you understand and how that dovetails with what is described in Scripture. So our goal today is really to start to answer questions. We'd love people, if you have a question or even if you want to make a statement. And I, by the way, I don't have any problem with criticism. If you want to call in and say, oh, well, you're all wet, do that as well. Our number here at ABQ Connect is 505-338-5790, and that is the call-in line, and it'll be open as we have this discussion today. So what's the general view of the church on science and Scripture?
Well, we touched on that as well, and the general view is most people think that the Bible doesn't deal with science. It deals with religion or deals with theology, and it thinks that science is a totally different category outside of what the Scripture teaches. And the opposite is actually the truth. The Bible tells us a lot about science. Mm-hmm. And fundamentally, we believe that God is the creator of all things. Mm-hmm. And if he is the creator of all things, that's the creation.
Sure.
So if he created it, then the Bible inevitably is going to touch on lots of things related to the created world.
So let's give an example of that. For most people have heard about evolution, and the creation of life itself came somehow by accident in a primordial ooze or a pool of water at some temperature, however many years ago, 10,000, 4 billion, I don't know, but there's all kinds of theories out there. And they postulate that, or the hypothesis is that life formed accidentally. Now, science would say the true scientific method is that if that were truly scientific, that theory, you could take into a laboratory setting all these different chemicals that make up a life form. Mm-hmm. And the neat thing about today is that we can measure that in exactitude. You can take a one-celled organism and you can measure every ingredient, so to speak, the recipe for that particular, but you cannot combine that in a laboratory situation and create life. Can't be done. So why do people think that that's scientific?
Well, as we said last time, an unbelieving mind or an unbeliever that has already rejected God, rejected the Bible, he has to come up with a theory that leaves God out. And the only way that you can do that is to try to come up with an explanation from the natural realm. And that's the best that we can do. That's the best that mankind has come up with. And you got to stick to it if the alternative is God. If God is creator and that's the only alternative, the human heart is desperately wicked and it's got to cling.
So they're just going to say, absolutely, there's no way there's a God. So that can't be the explanation.
Exactly. All exactly.
Right. Let me ask you about.
You started to ask about an example.
Right. That's right.
Well, you can take any example or an example from any science. Any of the sciences will deal with issues of creation because all of the sciences were put together by God. Mm-hmm. And I think on the 6-day record that we have of Genesis 1 that lays out the creative work of God, it touches on virtually every science that you can conceive of.
Okay.
So if God is the creator, he's the creator, you know, the obvious is biology, but he's the creator of astrophysics. He created the heavens and the earth, obviously. So right. He's the author of astrophysics. So astrophysical laws will follow what God has put and built in to all of astrophysics. You can go down the line and come up with examples from all of these areas.
What is something that the unbelieving world would claim is a conflict with Scripture? Give us an example of one of those.
Well, there are real conflicts between what we believe and what science purports to believe.
Okay.
But you need to keep in mind that, in fact, I'd like to get into this a little bit today, is why are these conflicts there?
Okay.
But to answer your question before we get there, the interpretation of humanism conflicts with the interpretation. So automatically, you have a whole series of conflicts. Mm-hmm. You're rejecting God as creator. So you're rejecting the biblical view of science, and I would set forth that there's a biblical perspective on science that is a little bit different from the secular viewpoint.
Okay.
So there are genuine conflicts, but the conflicts, I believe, are not with real science. They are with the ideas and the theories that men have put up.
Oh, nice. And we're going to talk about some of those today.
I'd like to.
That sounds great. Well, we're going to have more with Ray Mondragon, Christian Creation Science. I always make that mistake. Creation Science Fellowship. They meet the third Tuesday of every month at 9600 Central Southeast at the Faith Bible Church. And everybody's invited. It's a presentation of about a different topic, third Tuesday of every month. And you go over the topic and allow people, I guess, to ask questions.
Oh, absolutely. There's always a Q&A at the end.
And that is just so fascinating. So if you have a lot of these kind of questions, and I don't care if you're a believer or unbeliever and you have questions about this, you would be honoring yourself and the Lord to actually get those questions answered or at least start asking the questions, right?
Exactly.
Well, we hope you'll stay with us this afternoon. More with Ray right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200. Or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
If you have hard water, the lime scale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate lime scale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Hey, Buddha King, Car Spa here. After an enduring road of commercial development, we are proud to announce the opening of our fourth location and flagship on the west side called Rain Tunnel Car Spa Flagler. located at the northwest corner and red light of Sevilla and Coors. We are in the heart of Andalucia and La Luz, right across from UFC Gym and Ginger's. The best car wash in all of Albuquerque is now closer to home. West Side, baby. Come see us. Your car will be glad you did.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. We'll give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty. That's right, every vehicle. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Ray Mondragon with Creation Science Fellowship. They meet the third Tuesday of every month at 9600 Central Southeast at the Faith Bible Church. It's a meeting for everybody, everybody invited. Some scientists getting together to challenge people not only in their faith, but to understand how science dovetails with creation, and that is described in the Bible. To use a Trumpism, Ray, we understand fake news. That's something he talks about all the time, our president. So I'm going to say, based on the question I asked you right before the break, the conflicts between science and scripture are more conflicts between what I will call fake science and scripture.
I would absolutely agree with that.
Elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, when you have two different worldviews, for example, I believe that we have a biblical worldview that we believe as believers. Mm-hmm. But obviously, people don't grow up with scripture or have rejected God. They have to come up with an alternative way of looking at everything. We call that a worldview. So most people are not aware of the fact that the culture builds within them a worldview. We just exist and we just take things as we've learned, either from parents or teachers or the culture, and we form these ideas. And some of these ideas are not really reality. They're ideas that are only theory or ideas of men. And that filters down to the whole area of science as well. There are a lot of areas that are in conflict with what Scripture teaches. The main one is creation. We believe that there was a creator. And if he created all things, then there's a relationship between what he has revealed in his word and what you can discover if you do the work of a scientist.
You know, years ago I heard Josh McDowell, who wrote a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And a lot of that is what he would call external apologetics. And there's logic and stuff that he applies. And one of the things he talks about in his first volume was that if you took a watch and you smashed it up with a hammer and you threw it into the Rio Grande River, I know he used a different word. I'm just using,
right.
I'm localizing
local.
This. Yeah. So if you threw that in the Rio Grande River, what's the mathematical possibility that that watch would reassemble itself and start working as a watch again? Well, of course, that's a ludicrous idea, mm-hmm. but he says that's really the same thing as believing that life formed accidentally, because life is so much more complicated.
Yes.
Even in a one-celled organism, understanding
right.
the DNA and
right.
all the things that go into it. So again, I want people to sit back and say, okay, well, maybe I've always believed in evolution. Maybe I've always thought about mm-hmm. this word science, and I've thought that that exists exclusive of faith. In Christ and
right.
creation science. But maybe I need to back up now mm-hmm. and consider some of these questions. Tell me the essence of the series and why you really wanted to focus on all of this.
Well, the essence of what I'd like to see us accomplish in the broadest terms is to try to demonstrate, in other words, from science and from reality, that in fact God is the creator. Mm-hmm. And that is scientifically verifiable, you could even say, as verifiable as any other theory that man has come up with. Mm. The current theory, and by the way, I believe that current theory is in crisis, and there's a book by a microbiologist with that title, Evolution in Crisis. Mm. I believe evolution today is on the way out. The only reason it persists is not because of science, because the evidence is not there. The only reason it persists is because man has not come up with a better explanation that leaves God out.
Right.
But all the scientific evidence, and that's what I'd like to accomplish, is to try to let people know that there's science out there that supports the idea of at least an intelligent designer. And we as believers would say the Bible describes that intelligent designer as God himself. In fact, the more you learn about the size of the universe and the energy contained, if he's the creator of the universe, he has to be an omnipotent God and an all-wise God, and only the God of the Bible qualifies to describe that God.
Yeah, I've had a number of people tell me that if you are on the edge of the Grand Canyon is magnificent. I've seen it. It looks like a big postcard because it looks so huge.
Mm-hmm.
But if you fly over it, it's a speck on the landscape. It's
right.
Very small. And so you can only, you know, none of us can ever understand the breadth and the magnificence of the Creator, the magnificence. Mm-hmm. But you see how small we are compared to his creation and everything that went into that, the whole universe. And when you really consider that, God is massive and great and present all the time and knows all things. And, mm-hmm. you know, considering all of those points, omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence, those
right.
things are off the chart, hard to understand.
Exactly.
But all the things that you're considering help to support that we do have a creator and none of this happened by accident. What are some mm-hmm. of the scriptures that you refer to when you talk about creation science?
Well, I guess one of the kind of outstanding ones is Psalm 19:1, where it says that the heavens, this deals with astrophysics, mm-hmm. the heavens declare the glory of God. So in other words, indirectly, it's actually encouraging us to consider the heavens, because you're going to learn something from the heavens that tells you something about God.
Right.
So we should not in any way be intimidated by astrophysics. The more we study astrophysics, the more we should discover that there has to be a creator, and it brings glory to him as creator.
And I'm going to make a suggestion about considering that. If you are in a large city, or even a small city, if there's lights around, like if you're in the middle of Albuquerque and you look up to the heavens at 11 o'clock at night, you're not going to see that many stars. But if you go out into the woods, if you go up into the Sandia Mountains, or you go up to the Guyana Wilderness up by Cuba, or you go to the Jemez, or any of these places where there's not a lot of light, the stars are just amazing at night. And you can mm-hmm. see shooting stars, you can see definition in the heavens that you don't even need a telescope, or you can just look up and just see some amazing things. You can see the Milky Way. And
right.
I don't know what it is about the light that causes us not to be able to see that when we're in the city, but I'd highly recommend mm-hmm. that you go out and look at that kind of thing.
Right. You reminded me of another scripture. I don't have it handy, and I don't remember exactly, but in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul does describe and does mention things that we're just discovering today about astrophysics.
Mm.
He mentions there's different glory. There's the glory of the sun, there's the glory of the moon, and there's different glories in terms of the stars. And we're just discovering that there are different intensities of stars in terms of illumination. There's different kinds of stars. There's pulsars. The list goes on. And we're just discovering most of those things today. And Paul is describing that in 1 Corinthians 15. So the Bible is way ahead of science because God is the creator.
Well, again, I'm no scientist, but I do remember several talking points and some things that you've shared. Like, for example, there's many, many stars. I don't know how many. Is there somebody postulate how many there might be?
There's an estimate. The estimate, and remember, our sun is one. We consider it a star.
Right.
They estimate within the Milky Way 100 billion stars. That's
so,
within the Milky Way.
So one side of this equation would consider that Earth is accidentally exactly the right distance from our sun or a star, and accidentally has gravity, where most of us know that if you're spinning around on a merry-go-round, which is nowhere near as fast as the Earth is spinning, you're going to fly off of it because of centrifugal force. But there's this thing called gravity that's accidental and doesn't seem to exist in the amount that we have exactly. So they postulate that all of this stuff is by accident. The temperature of our Earth is because we're exactly a certain distance. We have a rotation of the Earth. We have an atmosphere. We have all these different things that so-called accidentally happened. And I'm fascinated that people think that's scientific to believe something like that.
Well, like I said, this whole idea is in crisis today. And the evidence all points to a creator. And you're naming some of the issues. In fact, there's a whole book, trying to remember the name of it, but it has planet in it, and it speaks of the uniqueness of the planet, where all of the constants and all of the locations of the sun and the moon and all of these other issues, all of these other things seem to point that there's something special about the Earth. And basically, biblically, the Earth is the focus.
Well, we're going to come back after these messages and talk about science statements that are in the Bible. And Ray Mondragon is with us with Creation Science Fellowship. If you'd like to call and ask Ray a question, please call us at 505-338-5790. We'll be back with more right after these messages.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We're visiting today with Holly Slade from Dave Slade & Associates. Holly, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
You know, Holly, we talk to a lot of people who, you know, think about selling their home or buying a home. But is there a best time of year to sell a home?
You know, in the Albuquerque market, there is. I should say the Albuquerque Rio Rancho Metro market. We are very much a bell-shaped curve in our community, because we're a family community. And so our families like to really move around toward the end of a school year, try and get settled before the beginning of the next school year. So we see a whole lot of activity from May through September. So if you're really interested in getting your home sold quickly, the spring and summer months are really a wonderful time to do it.
Okay, that's some great information, especially for those who may have really thought it was one or the other. I've got a couple times during the year that it would be maybe more beneficial to consider doing that. Really, probably the best thing for them to do is connect with you.
Absolutely.
How would they do that?
They can give us a call directly at 505-342-8100, and we would be happy to walk them through the process, happy to come out and give a free market analysis.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are with Ray Mondragon this afternoon with ABQ Connect. Thank you for joining us. Ray is with the Creation Science Fellowship. They meet the third Tuesday of every month. It's a free meeting. They discuss various topics of creation science. And
it's a family setting as well.
Yeah.
A lot of people think it's just for scientists, but we encourage families, some families that homeschool are consistent
members.
Yeah, and
I would really encourage young people that are in middle school and high school to attend, because these are things that if you can get a handle on them, and you would feel a lot more confident going onto a university, secular university campus and answering questions. Because I remember when I went to the University of New Mexico, and I started there in 1976, so that was a few years ago. I remember people being pretty antagonistic toward me in thinking that the Bible was the Word of God, other than, you know, they were trying to say, oh, it's just a nice book to read. You know, they didn't really agree with the fact that the words actually had power.
Right.
And I know now, after so many years of faith, that the words truly do have power, and it's way different than just a regular book. Ray, before we approach this subject in greater detail, what are some basic assumptions as starting points that we need to make?
We touched on that last time as well, but we didn't get too far. I think we went off on a different path. But anyway, the basic assumptions that we have as believers is that God exists, first of all. Mm-hmm. Secondly, in terms of science, God is the author of science. So that's fundamental and basic, and it's an assumption. I mean, you can't prove that.
Sure.
So we start...
But it's just like the assumption that he doesn't exist.
Exactly. Okay. That's an assumption as well.
Sure.
A theory, an idea.
Right.
So if God exists, then we also believe that he is not only created, but he has revealed himself. So that's a basic assumption. Now, that has more areas where you can defend apologetically, because the Bible has lots of credibility that you can come up with arguments to support that it's a special, at least special book. So this is an assumption that God has revealed himself, and if he has revealed himself in his word, and if he is creator, then we, in fact, assume that there's no conflict between the two. In other words, there should be consistency between God as creator and what he has revealed in his word. And the more we spend time in science, the more we see confirmation of that rather than the other.
Right.
And confirmation that some of these ideas like evolution and other related issues like local floods, that sort of thing, in terms of the Genesis flood, the more we find out that science doesn't support those ideas that men have come up with, and science supports more the idea of our basic assumptions.
I know we have listeners right now that want to get some answers to specific questions, so I'm going to give them a little motivation here. We have Casting Crowns, which is just an amazing group and musical band that, I mean, that the stuff, their music is just awesome. They are going to be in Albuquerque on October 4th. I'm going to give away two tickets to the first person that wants to call and ask Ray a question about creation science. So now you have an incentive to call us at 505-338-5790, and I'll give away two tickets to Casting Crowns on October 4th. Ray, what are the science statements that are made in the Bible?
Well, you can find them virtually anywhere, but I'm going to use one that probably, or a couple of them that are not so commonly thought of. You might think the book of Job only deals with a man that's suffering, but if you look carefully, especially when God interacts with Job, he makes all kinds of scientific statements. In fact, he's challenging Job. Job is wondering, you know, why am I suffering? I need an answer to this question. And yet God in the book of Job never gives him an answer. What he's basically doing is building faith in Job and saying, you can trust me. You can trust me. You don't need an answer. And the way he does that is he basically asks him a series of scientific questions. Just read chapter 40, and there's a whole series of things. Were you here? Do you know about Orion? In other words, constellations. Do you know what happens inside the womb of animals? You know, all these scientific questions, and obviously Job has no answers to that.
Right.
So here's just a couple of them that God asks in a different location in Job chapter 12. And in fact, he is asking Job to basically investigate these areas to learn something, because they're going to tell Job something about God himself. So he says, ask the beasts. In other words, you can study zoology. So ask them. Now, it's a poetic passage. It's not framed in scientific technical language. But the poetry, the essence of what he's asking here, is he's challenging Job, study zoology. You're going to learn something. He also says, and let them teach you. You can learn things from zoology. They're just going to teach you something. Then he says, and the birds. In other words, ask the birds of the heavens. You can study ornithology, and it's going to teach you something. And he says, and let the fish of the seas declare to you certain things. So the challenge here is to study zoology, ornithology, the whole study of fish. He goes on, or speak to the earth in verse 8. Speak to the earth and let it teach you. So you can study geophysics, and you're going to learn something about it. And the bottom line is in verse 9, it says, who among all these, in other words, the beasts, the fish, the birds, who among all these does not know, in other words, they know.
Sure.
Because God has built certain things in them. Who does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In other words, who does not know that he is the creator of all these things?
Ray, we have a call from Jeff asking a question about carbon dating. Jeff, looks like you're going to be going to the Casting Crowns concert on October 4th. Thanks for calling in.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks for the ticket. Thanks for the tickets. That's awesome. My wife will love it. So,
what's your question for Ray?
The question is, so when you're trying to talk to people who believe in evolutionary science, a lot of times they'll use carbon dating as a way to validate their argument. And so as a Christian, how do you disvalue those statements, and yet sometimes you can use carbon dating to your own benefit?
Well, there's several things you need to keep in mind when it comes to all dating. In fact, all things in the past, all dating and all dating methods have several assumptions. And if the assumptions don't work, and by the way, all radiometric dating is based on at least three assumptions. They're like legs on a three-legged stool. And if you knock any one of those out, then the whole stool collapses, obviously. So basically, you have to look at the assumptions, and I'm getting a signal here that I need to wrap it up here. Maybe after the next break I can...
Why don't we do that? Let's take a quick break. And Jeff, I don't know if you can hold on or just listen to the answer, but Ray's going to be back talking about carbon dating.
Give you more detailed
question,
answer.
Give you a little more detail. We're going to say thanks to our sponsors for a couple minutes, and we'll be right back on ABQ Connect.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Elma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Call 800-319-8464. That's 800-319-8464. Again, 800-319-8464.
Take your knowledge of Scripture to a whole new level with online classes from Veritas International University. Featuring curriculum from The Bible from 30,000 Feet, the renowned book and teaching series by Dr. Skip Heitzik of Calvary Church. Learn more about the Bible on your schedule and work toward a certificate or fully accredited degree that will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. For a complete list of classes and to enroll, visit CalvaryABQ.college. That's CalvaryABQ.college. You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I am in studio this afternoon with Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship. They meet the third Tuesday of every month at Central and Moon in Albuquerque, the Faith Bible Church. Those meetings are free. They're informational. It's a fun chance for you to get any questions answered that you might want to answer. And right before the break, we had Jeff call in. Jeff has two tickets now to go to Casting Crowns. He said his wife's going to really like that. So that's a score on both sides. But Jeff's question was really interesting. He was asking about carbon dating, and you started to elaborate on that, but we had to go away to a commercial. Tell us a little bit about carbon dating, Ray.
Well, carbon dating, in fact, all radiometric dating most commonly known as carbon dating, carbon 14, is based on at least three assumptions. In fact, you could add another one, but three basic assumptions. If any one of them has a problem, then the whole system is called into question. One of the assumptions is that the rate of decay has been constant for however many millions of years that people think that it's been in existence. Another assumption is that there have not been any contamination in the period of time that you're investigating. And you also have to know the initial conditions. So those three conditions. A few years ago, I think 2005, I believe, or six, the Institute of Creation Research funded a multi-million dollar research program. In fact, I think it's the biggest research program that any Christian organization has ever funded. They looked into some of these issues in terms of not only carbon 14, but other dating methods. And they came to the conclusion that all three of those assumptions have severe problems, and particularly the constancy of the decay rate. And if there was, in fact, a Genesis flood, then all bets are off. In other words, you cannot date anything before that, because the Genesis flood would have had some impact on the decay rates of all of the radiometric dating. So they published in two volumes, very detailed. In fact, you have to pretty much be a scientist to understand what they're talking about. But they dealt with the issue of carbon dating, and there is an answer. It's not easy to explain in a few points here on the radio, but the main thing to bring out, it's based on assumptions that have real problems.
Well, it is easy to explain that if you doubt there was a Genesis flood, then explain to us how a 10,000-foot mountain called the Sandia Crest Mountains on the east side of Albuquerque, why are there ocean fossils at the top of that mountain? I mean, how can that happen if there wasn't a flood?
Yep.
And so I find it interesting that, creation science doesn't have all the answers. But we do trust what the Bible says. And you are constantly, people like yourself are constantly investigating these things and coming up with new answers. It's just like medicine. You were talking about how animals could reveal a lot about God. Well, we all know that scientists have developed a lot of medical theories by looking at human bodies and animal bodies, and we know a lot, a ton of information out there, but there's still a lot of stuff missing. And it's just an amazing thing to continue the study and the research, but you do it with God in mind. And we're discussing how that conflicts with people that say there is no God, so we're going to investigate it and totally eliminate him. Do you think people that are people of faith are objectively and intellectually considering all the evidence?
Absolutely. We're, in fact, creation scientists, actual people that are doing research in the area, they're looking at more data than the secularist, because we have revelation, and that's part of our database that is eliminated by the secularist. In other words, if you cannot come up with an explanation from the natural realm, then it's discounted. And there's a lot of momentum. The funding to do research, the universities, they're all from the secularist, naturalistic point of view. But if you can get funding, or if you can fund yourself and do some research, then basically you're taking in more data than the secularist, because you have revelation.
Right. Well, talk to us a little bit about how the carbon dating question and investigating those kinds of issues leads you into a position of faith.
Well, let me backtrack a little bit here and describe not just carbon dating, but the whole area where we have these conflicts. Most of the areas that we have conflicts, there are two areas of science that we need to keep in mind.
Okay.
Number one, there's what we would describe as observational, or some people describe it as empirical science. Mm-hmm. That's what most people think of when we think of science. That is done in the present. You can come up with a hypothesis. You can test it. Somebody else can come after you and do the same thing, follow in your tracks, or come up with a slightly different theory, test it. That's observational science. We as believers have very, very little conflict and problem in most areas of observational science. Where we have a problem is in a whole area, and this is a scientific area as well. I'll give you some examples of where it works itself out. But the whole area of what we would describe as historical science, in other words, reconstructing the past. So when we're dealing with creation, we're dealing with what happened in the past. When we're dealing with the Genesis flood, we're dealing with the issue of, was there actually a flood historically? Now, you can investigate the past. In fact, we do. That's the whole area of history. Archaeology is a whole scientific area and endeavor that deals with the past and past cultures. That would fall under the category of historical science. Now, the kicker here and the main thing to keep in mind, we have very little problem with observational science because you can test it. But there's no time machine to go back to tell you what happened. All that we have to be able to investigate scientifically are the traces that are left by the events of the past. That's key. And then from those traces, in order to establish a fact, there's a lot of interpretation that goes into the data.
And a lot of those are biased by the assumptions you start with.
And absolutely. And that's the problem. So we have problems. If you start from an evolutionary perspective, for example, then you're going to take carbon-14 dating from an evolutionary perspective. You're going to make some assumptions about that, that they've always been constant. You're going to omit the idea of the possibility of a Genesis flood, that it may have interrupted, that may have changed everything. So you're going to miss out on some of the data, and you're going to end up with a different conclusion. Mm-hmm. So this is the heart of our conflict. So we have conflicts with interpreting past events like creation and like the Genesis flood and other events that took place in historical time, even in the time of Christ, miracles, for example, mm-hmm. and in other periods of time. That is discounted by the secularist.
Sure.
Because you can't come up with a naturalistic explanation. How do you explain turning H2O into one of the most complex carbon-based molecules? We commonly describe it as wine. How do you do that instantaneously?
Right.
There's no scientific explanation for that.
Well, we're going to talk more with Ray Mondragon. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back.
Change is inevitable, like the weather. Is your home's heating system running? Remove dampener, check filter, inspect compartments. Wait, I might have to get up on the roof for all this? Inspect heat changer, shut down furnace, properly clean flame sensor. Wait, how do I do that again? Turn on gas valve and check for leaks. Wait, slow down. Gas leaks? Check pilot assembly tubes. Verify blower compartment door is closed. Ready or not, change is coming. When it does, call Bosque Heating and Cooling at 444-7200. That's 444-7200. We'd love to help.
Everyone likes hometown flavors. For Albuquerque, it's red or green. Well, did you know you can get great hometown teaching as well? Crosspoints Radio with Pastor Scott Tom. Another part of the quality KNKT weekend programming on 107.1 FM. Get local teaching Saturday nights at 8:30 right here on KNKT. Or visit crossfellowship.org for on-demand teaching, apologetics, and ministry training. Again, that website is crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
G'day to you. It's Joel and Luke here from the band for King Country with some thrilling news.
This fall, we'd like to personally invite you to Burn the Ships, the world tour in Albuquerque, New Mexico on October 19th at Tingley Coliseum.
It's going to be quite a night of music and stories. It's just going to be you and us. We'll be taking the stage at the top of the show. And in honor of Burn the Ships, the production design will be inspired by the bow of a ship, making it the most elaborate but intimate night you've experienced with us yet.
And we'll also be playing more music than ever before. Every song from our latest album. as well as many of your favorites such as Fix My Eyes and Priceless. Fix My Eyes.
So we cannot wait to embark on this voyage with you.
Join us October 19th at Tingley Coliseum. Reserve your seats right now at FakinCountry.com.
Wise step-parents honor their stepchildren's past.
For Family Life Blended, here's Ron Deal.
When Victoria married a widower with four kids, she applied this advice and it paid off. When they moved her furniture into his house, she noticed how uprooted the kids felt, so she made changes very cautiously. First, the kitchen, but their mother's items were distributed or saved for each child. Then she waited 5 years to redo the living room. And now, after 7 years, for Christmas, she gifted each child with a photo of their family of origin and the current stepfamily. Now that's wisdom. She honored their mom, dad, each child, and herself. For Family Life Blended, I'm Ron Deal.
To find out more, visit FamilyLifeBlended.com.
A Harvest America Moment with Pastor Greg Laurie.
So what is heaven like? Well, you know what? Heaven's a city. Hebrews 11:10 says of heaven that this city has an architect and a builder. Now, cities are real places. There's neighborhoods, there's streets, there's activities, there's places to get food. You're saying, Greg, are you actually telling me that when we're in heaven, we might go and sit down and have a meal? Why not? The Bible talks about eating in heaven. Are you telling me, like, when we're in heaven, we might go out and do fun stuff? Of course. Do you do fun stuff on earth? No. Well, that's your fault. But you can do it in heaven. Heaven is better than earth. Earth is just sort of a glimpse of greater things to come.
Impact your world with the gospel by knowing God and making Him known. Connect with Pastor Greg Laurie and sign up to receive his free daily devotion emails. To get started, visit harvest.org today.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for staying with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Ray Mondragon, the Creation Science Fellowship. And Ray, again, all the stuff you're talking about, I know there's so much detail we could go into, but we really want to point people, if you're interested in this topic, to go to the Creation Science Fellowship meetings that are the third Tuesday of every month. They're free. You meet in the Faith Bible Church at 9600 Central Southeast. That's on the corner of Central and Moon. And these meetings are free. They're family friendly. People can come. And how long do they typically last?
Generally about an hour and a half, sometimes a little more. The talk itself is usually one full hour. Most of the time it goes over, but people understand that.
Tell us a little bit about the speakers that are there.
Okay, the speakers generally are well qualified. Some of them have come from Sandia National Labs. Sometimes we'll have a guest speaker from out of town that has some expertise in a particular area. And most of the people are local, though. I give a talk at least once a year, sometimes more than that, and deal with different
areas. So there's really highly qualified people that have contemplated all these questions. They're people of faith. They're people that can defend the science anywhere they go intellectually, but they can also talk about how that dovetails with their faith. And that's what we want to share with our listeners is how can you defend yourself? Most people, I don't know if a lot of the younger people in our audience remember a documentary put out by our friend Mark Mathis. Mark and his wife Diane have since moved out of Albuquerque, but Diane was the lead anchor at KOAT7 for many, many years. Extremely professional, tremendous newscaster and reporter and anchor. And she happened to be a person of faith. And her husband, Mark, put in a great deal of research. So back in 2008, he let us know that if you are a creation scientist and you can have the academic credentials that are higher than anyone else in this country, but if you believe in creation, you are expelled. You are expelled. His documentary is called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. You will not be hired at a secular university. What, that's an amazing bias. And you tell me off air that it's worse now than it was in 2008.
Yeah, not only will you not be hired, but if they discover in most universities, most places, they'll fire you. So
the funny thing is you've already indicated that in the last 10 years, it looks like the evolutionary theories are kind of falling apart on themselves. The proverbial missing link is never been found and isn't going to be found. And so people are now starting to figure out, and I think this is largely because of discussions like we're having today. Actual scientists that are people of faith have questioned these things, and now mm-hmm. people are starting to open their eyes and go, yeah, I think you're right. There is no science involved with this stuff.
Actually, a lot of the more recent sciences that have flourished, like microbiology, now that we know so much in microbiology has basically destroyed this concept of, or this idea of evolution. In fact, evolution doesn't even rise to the level of a theory.
Mm.
It's a philosophical, it's a worldview idea that has very, very little scientific evidence that supports it. So, and these are from unbelievers. In fact, that book that I referred to, Evolution in Crisis, written by an unbeliever, he's an evolutionist, that's his background and that's his belief. That's his title. And basically, he has a quote in there that I've used quite often. I can't remember it verbatim, but essentially he says that evolution is becoming the cosmogenic myth of the 20th century.
Wow.
Now, he says 20th century because the book was published.
So it sounds like he's developed some intellectual honesty in evaluating these things, which is an amazing thing.
And the book deals with his research and the research of other microbiologists, and basically the title is what event?
We just got a caller that called in and asked about the event, and what we want to do is reiterate that you have monthly meetings,
yes. The
third Tuesday of every month.
Except December is the only one
we
don't have.
Oh, okay, because that's right next to Christmas.
Right.
And so you'll be having the next meeting while I'm talking. Why don't you figure out what the next date is for me? So we are looking at the third Tuesday of every month at Central and Moon, the Faith Bible Church. What time in the evening do you typically
7
have?
7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock, and they're normally an hour to an hour and a half. So you have a website, too. What
yes.
is that website?
My website is For His Glory, now F-O-R, no spaces, For His Glory, NM.com. I've got lots of creation stuff on there. In fact, a whole series that I've done in a couple of places.
And are there links to where these meetings
yes.
or when they will be? Okay.
There
perfect.
Are links to lots of websites.
Okay. So if we were to look at a calendar right now, and right now we're on the 28th of August, so the third week of September, Tuesday, should be the 17th. The 17th should be the next meeting
yes.
at Faith Bible Church, and that's Central and Moon at 7 o'clock p.m., 9600 Central Southeast. So we appreciate, you know, people calling in and texting and so forth. Plus, we want to point everybody to our new ABQ Connect website. That website is abqconnect.online. abqconnect.online. And if you go to that website, you can see an archive of this broadcast, and there'll be some links to a whole bunch of cool creation science stuff and ways to get in touch with you guys on your websites.
Great. And I'm assuming you put mine on there as well.
Well, I haven't done your website that you just mentioned, but we'll make sure that gets done in the next couple of days. And I hope people
Super.
Will be patient with it. It takes about a day for us to get the shows up and archived because there's a little editing and stuff. And Andrew, our magic operations manager, has to manage two stations and do all this editing. So Andrew's happy to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we thank him for that. We're just kidding. He's smiling at me through the window like, please don't tell people that. Ray, we are so grateful for you to be here. I always have 8 million more questions I want to ask you, and so let's try to get a couple more things answered. Tell us the basic relationship between truth and science and Scripture.
Well, obviously, we believe that the Bible is inspired, and many of us believe that it is not only inspired, but inerrant. And what we mean there, that if it's inerrant, then it's true in an absolute sense. In fact, our culture, postmodernism, says there's no such thing as even truth, much less absolute truth. But we believe that there is absolute truth, and Scripture gives us that truth because it's inerrant. And the Bible claims that God is truth. And what did Jesus claim? I am the way, the truth,
and the light.
And there's other scriptures that speak of the Spirit of truth. That is absolute truth. And from God, who is absolute truth, we believe that he has revealed himself in his word, and if it's inerrant, that is absolute truth. So we believe that the Bible is absolute truth. Men, in their thinking, the best that we have come up with, and I have a high view of science, that's my background, we come up with what we believe is scientific truth, but it's never absolute. In fact, scientists will admit that. So the relationship between truth and Scripture, we believe that we have absolute truth, whereas the scientific world has truth that we can discover that God has built into the creation, but that's not absolute truth.
Ray, I think you'll agree with this. We are not in the business of making Christians. That's God's job. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and able to penetrate as far as the division of soul and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we get involved in trying to convince people, and all we really need to do is speak the truth.
That's right.
So you're talking about some scientific facts. So something so fascinating to me is talk to a lot of pastors, especially in the Calvary system, they really love prophecy. And the very fact that Israel exists is a prophecy that is unequaled. I mean, there's no way, from a worldly perspective, that Israel should exist.
Exactly.
The fact that that country is here is absolutely all God.
Well, there's never been a culture that has ever survived more than probably around 100 years, much less 2,000 years, and then reestablished.
Well, and it disappeared, and then all of a sudden it forms a state, and the war that they were in, mm-hmm. you know, back in the early 1900s, they should have utterly been destroyed, and they weren't.
Right.
And so, to me, if you think you're going to go against Israel, you are going against a power that is going to take you out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm so concerned that we all, you know, support Israel. Now, is Israel perfect? No, they're human beings. They're just like us. We are all flawed. We all say and do things that we shouldn't do. But, you know, you don't want to go against the Lord Almighty. And so by sharing what we're sharing today, we really want to just have a intellectual discussion. God's the one that makes it spiritual. He's the one that reveals the truth to your heart. He's the one that speaks to you. So if you're sitting and you're listening to the show and you have some questions about things that you might believe, you might be a very strong Christian and have some doubts about things we're talking about. All we're really saying is look into it.
Absolutely.
Ask some questions. The Creation Science Fellowship meets on the third Tuesday of every month at Central and Moon, 9600 Central Southeast at the Faith Bible Church. Absolutely free. And people can reach out to you via your website. Give us that website one more time.
ForHisGloryNM.com.
ForHisGloryNM.com. And you have a million resources you can direct people to.
Well, there's the websites,
yeah.
The very well-known creation science websites, ICR, Answers in Genesis. I think you Google them, you'll come up with the website location. There's also the...
That'll do it today, Ray. Thanks so much for your time. We'll see you tomorrow on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT.
The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.